Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jean-Paul Lavoisier, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Tune in, it's a blast.
Good evening, my chat room buddies in there. Thank you for tuning in to Stardish Radio. Today is July 2nd, 2008. I am your host, Joanne. And I want to ask everyone to participate and call in when our guest is on, 347-945-5423. And definitely make sure you rate the show once we are done. It will be available for download, usually about 30 minutes once we have finished. So, guest updates. Don't forget, tomorrow, July 3rd, 2008, Greg Vaughn, Lucky Spencer from General Hospital, will be back on Stardish Radio. He was sick the last time around, so we will definitely have him well and so much better. So do not miss that one. I'm going to be bringing Tony on now, my special guest host. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Joanne. Good evening to you, and good evening, everybody, as well.
How's it going?
That's good. I'm very good. I'm very excited tonight to have our guest tonight.
I am, too. We're just waiting for her to call in. I think Catherine Hickland is definitely one of the most talented women in daytime, and I'm so glad that she chose to come on our show.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah, she's been around the block in daytime for a long, long time. You know, she's been back in acting for a long time on soaps for a very long time.
Mm-hmm,
and we all know her from a couple of subs. We know her from Loving. Some people know her from Loving and the City. Some know her probably from Texas and Capitol. You know, she's done a lot. So
right. Yeah, she definitely has. I was reading a little blurb about her. It's funny that she was married to David Hasselhoff. We all know that. And she said that she was reading in the newspaper something about an actor named Michael Knight. And Michael Knight was David Hasselhoff's name in Knight Rider. Then, ironically, a few years later, who did she end up marrying?
Michael E. Knight.
Michael Knight.
Michael
Knight. I thought that was pretty cute.
Hey, incidentally, Joanne, and I'm glad you mentioned Knight Rider, because you know that NBC is offering a remake of Knight Rider this fall, and it stars One of My Children star Justin Brun, who used to play Jamie on All My Children.
What day does it start?
Huh?
What day is it supposed to premiere? Do you know?
No, not yet. We haven't got the premiere date yet, but I think it's going to be sometime in September or October. That's pending the actors, if the actors don't walk out or get locked out. That's the problem.
Oh, okay.
There's a possible actors lockout.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't aware of that one.
Yeah, they've been talking about that for days. They said the contract between SAG and APRA and unions have expired, you know, and they've been working on a new deal. It was a possible lockout, so that means the actors could be, you know, locked out.
Oh, wow.
And it'll probably start the delay of Knight Rider and other shows for the fall season.
Oh, okay.
If they don't come to a new deal.
I'm looking, people are having trouble in the chat room. There's no sound. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Well, let's see. Try rebooting. Wait, let me type this in. Try rebooting the site. And I will go for live help here. Hang on, my fellow chatters. Technical difficulties. What are you going to do? All right, let me see here. Let me just tell them I am going to call for help. All right, let me see if I can get in here, Tony, and bear with me so I can... I have to go into the Blog Talk site itself and go for some live help. Someone's saying that they also had problems on their show today also with audio.
Yeah, I probably was Buzzworthy because I think they had a show earlier this afternoon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Buzzworthy's not in our chat though. It's another show.
I know.
I believe so.
Okay, probably. Yeah.
So, guys, keep talking while I'm doing this. I'm listening to you. I'm just trying to get somebody while I can.
Well, you know, Catherine, we all talked about Catherine Hicklin and her past routine. I just read some of her bio stuff here about not only her acting days on Capitol, but she also appeared on Bold and the Beautiful. You know, in between her time from Capitol, the time when she left Capitol, and the time she got to Levin, she did a little small stint on Bold and the Beautiful when she substituted for Catherine Kelly Lang when she went on maternity leave to have her child.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she substituted for a few episodes there. Well, Captain Kelly was on maternity leave. So that was pretty interesting to read because I spent practically all day going to different websites and getting all kinds of background information on Catherine every day, all day long, and some good stuff here, and I've got some things here that we can talk about when she calls. I mean, it is some real interesting stuff here
that I
really want to talk to her about.
Oh, I know. Well, guys, while I'm trying to do this, I can't get through to their live help. So something's going on with the site, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Click to talk and listen that way. Oh, okay. They're saying they're going to get their text on it. So everybody, click on the button that says click to talk and listen, and that way they'll see if they can get who they got to get on there. All right. I want to see who this is here at area code 512. Hi. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Joanne. It's Brandon.
Oh, why don't I even get the area code right?
Hey, Brandon. What's going on, man?
Not too bad. How are y'all doing?
We're doing good.
We're waiting for our girl to call in.
Waiting for Catherine Hicklin to come in.
Yep.
Yes. Just
me
waiting
too.
And waiting. So, yes, Brandon, it was some awesome show today. It definitely was.
Oh, the One Life to Live, absolutely, yes.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It was definitely.
I tell you, the scripts lately have just been on fire, and today was one of those great classic cliffhangers. I can't wait to see tomorrow. I can't wait to see what happens.
Oh, I know.
I was telling Joanne.
No, go ahead, Brandon.
No, I was telling Joanne, I'm usually a spoiler whore, and I haven't been following the teasers on the storyline, so I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea if she's going to break up the wedding again or what's going to happen, so I can't wait to see tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see that, too. And I just lost my train of thought because I'm reading the internet also. Okay, I think that if you click the link that says click to talk, you'll be able to hear. So that's what WSN Radio is saying. So thank you to WSN Radio for helping me out because I could not get through to live help for a half a second.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm hoping, you know, I hate not thinking good thoughts. But, you know, like I said, Brandon, once you get burnt, you have to always have that doubt in the back of your head. And I'm having that doubt right now. Oh, geez, Louise. Geez, Louise. So, okay, so what else is going on in soaps? Let's talk about some soaps while we're waiting for Catherine to call in. And in the meantime, on my other line, I'm going to make a phone call. So what else do you want to talk about?
Well, we just keep the Succession for One Night to Live going on right now. And we've got some other stuff
absolutely
to talk about. Let's see. What about Brandon? What about the situation with Marty and Todd right now, and the situation that she told that Todd's been telling her about a little bit of her past, but he's keeping a few stuff out for purposely. What do you think of it?
You know what? I'm kind of done with Todd as a character in general, and so I kind of sort of. It sounds awful, but I kind of sort of fast forward through his stuff and just kind of hit the highlights. But I'm just kind of done with him as a character. I think that he is way played out. I don't particularly care for the actor. I think the actor is a little a little bit too sarcastic, a little bit too, it's just, you know, it's not the Todd that I grew up on. I'll put it
that way. So you're referring to Trevor St. John, right? So you don't mind.
Yeah,
him.
Exactly. I liked him when he first came on, and I thought that the recast was actually ingenious, but somewhere in there, I just kind of lost the whole thread on him altogether.
Well, it's not mainly his fault, Brandon, but it's mainly because of the writing back in the
exactly,
day.
But still, it's, you know, I think as a fan, once you kind of decide you're done, it takes an act of Congress to reverse it, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. So,
okay, well,
I'm thrilled as punch that Susan Haskell's back, but I can't wait for her to be Susan Haskell again and be Marty again. Right now, she's kind of a, you know, it's just kind of an odd storyline.
Yeah, she felt like a zombie in Heat.
Exactly. She's not Marty yet. She's just, you know, she's kind of a familiar face that I'm trying to remember in my mind who she is. Something like that. It's
kind of like someone with a zombie in Heat. So, like, you know, so she, you know, she's paralyzed in the bed, can't even get up, can't even walk on her own right now. And of course, she's swallowing all these lies that Todd is giving her, telling her John broke up their marriage, talking about John did this and John did that. All he's trying to do is get back at John for what he did to try to break up Claire's marriage and try to take Sam away from him. That's all that is. That's all that is. We'll switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about Star and Cole a little bit here. They were like, you know, they reconciled a little bit. You know, they haven't seen each other in a while. And then the talk about the Dutchman came up, and then it went all the hell again.
Yes.
I've heard that Cole is going to get Todd involved next week in the whole thing, and I was kind of hoping that Star and Marcy would work out a deal in secret and you know, have it be years down the line before Todd found out, because I just think that kind of a monumental secret like that is a touchstone of soap opera storytelling, and so I was kind of hoping it would unfold that way, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens once Todd finds out.
Yeah,
well, they were showing the promo for that for this week that he's supposed
to
find out.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that it would be, you know, years before he actually found out.
No.
Just because that's the kind of secret that, you know, propels good storytelling for years.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And now it's going to be ruined in just 1 week. You know, when Cole blows the whistle to Todd about him and Star having a baby, and then it's all gonna blow. Homeville's gonna break loose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, on the other hand, it could open up a whole other story that's even more fantastic than what I've been fantasizing about. So, you know, who am I to say?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, I think we have a terrific writing team right now, and I trust them implicitly.
Yeah, Ron Calabelli and his gang has been doing pretty good lately.
Oh, and the scriptwriters have just been terrific.
Oh, yes. Well, no question they've been great. And you see how the flow of the story's been going on. It's been remarkable. No matter what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the talk of the anniversary stuff coming up later this month, it looks like the show to beat this summer.
Absolutely.
Well, I think One Life is definitely the one to beat. You're absolutely right. I like I said last night to January Lavoie, I've been kind of fast-forwarding to a lot of the other stuff right about now.
Yeah. But did you see the funniest scene today where the Mal and Delfina came up into the hotel, and just Squirrel Hotel, and talked to Roxy?
Absolutely. She's hysterical.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was nice to see Eileen Kristen have some airtime.
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. And she told Charlie not to give up, basically not to give up on Vicky, she told him not to give up on Vicky, or did she also tell Vicky not to give up on Charlie?
Yeah. She told Charlie you didn't drink alone.
Yeah, and it's going to be great when that all hits the fan.
Oh, I'm telling you. You know what? I am so pleased as punch that they brought the evil back out of Dorian, because I mean, not that it ever really left, but it was kind of mellowed evil. And now her true colors are coming back out again, and I love it. I love it. Every soap needs a villainess.
Yeah, and you can just tell that Robin Strasser loves it.
Don't
talk
radio.
Oh, no question.
Who's that?
Oh, that was like a...
Somebody's good to run.
Sounds like a feedback.
Yeah, definitely. I loved it. I love Robin Strasser, and I'm so happy that they're bringing back out the evil part of her.
Yeah, and you can just tell that she's thrilled. You can tell.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you know,
watch her on screen and tell that she's thrilled.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And you know another thing, Joanne and Brandon, you know, there's rivalries in soap operas these days, and, you know, past and present. But no one, but there's two on that show that's the most intense, most explosive, and off the charts ugly, that is on One Life to Live. That's Vicky and Dorian, and of course Lindsay and Nora.
Mhm. Mhm. And it's funny because Catherine and Hillary B. Smith are best friends in real life. So
yes.
I wanted to ask her about that also. And just for everybody that's listening in the chat room, it is, you know, 44 minutes, you know, remaining on the show, and Catherine has not called in yet. It was a confirmed interview. I don't want anybody to think, whatever, you know, I mean, you know how this goes. It's not like we haven't been through this before. And so I had politely walked away for a few minutes while Brandon and Tony chatted and made a phone call and left a message, so we'll see what happens. It may just turn into a soap chat, which, you know, I'm all for. And, of course, like I said, we will reschedule if that's the case. So, anyhow, let's just dish some more and see what happens, I guess.
What do y'all think about Andrea Evans' return? Have y'all been watching long enough to remember her the first time around?
Oh, yes,
oh, absolutely.
I have. Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. Andrea was a big part of that show a long time ago, and she brings the role of Tina. And I'm not going to say she hasn't lost her touch, that man, when she said since he's gotten back. She has not lost her touch. She's been, like, picking up, like, ooh, it's been gone for, like, ooh, 18 years or blah, blah, blah. And, like, she's, like, put on an old new spare dress, a new old dress. It just fits well for her.
Does she not look fabulous?
Oh, it does.
She's, like, she's 50-something. I mean, she's 50-something now.
51.
And she looks as fabulous as she ever has.
Yes, she
mm-hmm.
has. Without question. Without question. She looks amazing. And the same thing in the same breath, because she's been away for a long time, and yet she's been out in L.A. She still lives out in L.A., basically. She doesn't live in New York anymore.
Yeah.
That's because of a situation that happened that made her leave in the first place.
Yeah.
That I don't want to mention. It's really painful for her. You know, she talked about it in People magazine about a few weeks ago. There's an article that she had at the time that she had when she was in New York. He was attacked by a stalker there, and she had to leave New York to go out west. So she wanted to get away from that life and wanted to raise her children. And eventually became married and have children.
Yeah.
So,
oh, okay. I didn't even know anything about that. Okay.
Yeah, it was a People magazine interview about a couple of weeks back. And yes, go ahead.
She was on 48 Hours years ago talking about the same incident. So, yeah, it's a pretty well-known story by now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I didn't know about that.
So,
I'm happy she's back. I'm happy that she's back, and I hope it'll be a longer stint.
I can't wait to see her share time with Erica Slezak again, and John Lafrino's coming back later this month as Cord, and it's going to be like old home week.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is,
but,
and I'm excited about that.
We are all excited about that when we get.
If only Gabrielle was still alive, so that Gabrielle and Tina could renew their rivalry.
Absolutely.
It would be fantastic.
Oh, my God,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes. Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame when Gabrielle wasn't alive. Yeah, but Gabrielle was still alive, yes. Yeah, definitely would be another rivalry. Huge. Big, huge rivalry between those two. That was no love lost between those guys.
Yeah,
between
that one drove the show for years and years.
Yeah, right. But also Vicky and Dorian. But Vicky and Dorian, until Vicky and Dorian took over, and then now Lindsay Nora is involved. And there was one other rivalry on the show, but since that was like a younger version of the rivalry, when Jen was alive, and Nally, they were going at it basically because basically they're going. You see them almost fighting and verbally fighting and physically fighting all the time. I mean, that's all because of a Christian, because Jen was married to Christian at one time, and of course Nally met him too. Not got married, but eventually he got presumed dead and then he came back from the dead. And then, you know, and then they went at it again, and they went at it again, and they fought and fought and fought until, of course, Jen got killed by, you know, the crazy DA.
Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel, yes. I don't even want to mention the guy's name. He makes me sick.
Yes, it was during one of Nora's stupid periods.
That was Dean Haley's handiwork. You know what I'm saying? That was her handiwork.
Yeah, that was a little, well, whatever. But, yeah, that's all I could say about that was whatever. I'm just happy it's to where it is now. And still say, damn it, they should have won Best Show in the Emmys. And they are going to pull off a hell of a summer.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be considered right next year for Best Show. Next year, and this time, they will win. This one, they could win.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, guys, hold on a second. I want to see who this is calling on the phone. Area code 718. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Well, they hung up, so I guess they didn't want to talk. Okay.
I think that was Maggie, John.
No, Maggie is 813. 718 is the Bronx or Queens,
okay.
That area. So that's why I wanted to see if it was possibly Catherine. But, no, they hung up. They didn't want to talk. We are going to have Maggie wants to talk about Brandon Buddy. Brandon will be on the show next week. We're going to do a little One Life to Live stint. Let's see here. Monday, the 7th, Tobias Trevelyan, who plays Vincent Jones, will be on Stardish. Tuesday, Brandon Buddy, which I'm looking forward to.
Nicole.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, fine as all hell, Mark Lawson on the 9th.
AKA
Brody. Yes.
I know you've got to be having a little schoolgirl, Joanne, for seeing those three on your show.
You know what, though? No, I can be so professional. Look, this is the thing here. I'll act like a little schoolgirl the day that Antonio Sabato Jr. comes on my show and LL Cool J. Those are the only two you'll ever catch me acting like a little schoolgirl for, okay? That's the only two. So.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Those are my only two right there.
Oh.
Oh no! Wait a minute. I'm lying to you because Steve Burton would be in that category. Oh, that's who I would say. No. Okay. So there's three of them. I mean, LL Cool J doesn't count because he's not a soap guy, but I definitely would gush like a schoolgirl. Yes. Steve Burton and Antonio Sabato Jr. Those are my wishes to the powers that be to grant them to come on to Stardish. So, yeah, that's when you'll see Joanne gush.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
And everybody's asking in the chat room, maybe Catherine can't get through. I don't think that's what it is. I do think that it was a possible miscommunication with her management. I did call. And
when did you
leave word? I confirmed last week, and I confirmed Monday.
Okay.
So, you know, it's definitely out there, and she picked the date. So, so I was kind of hoping that, you know, I wouldn't have this kind of situation because she was only going to be available sometime within the first 2 weeks of July.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of the dates that I put out there, and she chose this date. So maybe something happened. You know how it is. Something always comes up. I mean, come on. Been there,
yeah.
Done that enough times on this show, that's for sure. And
she was on Buzzworthy a few months back, and she was terrific. So I was looking.
Oh, yeah. So I honestly, GH Fans Buzz is saying that she had a problem on her show with the line. So. You know, maybe it is the lines. I don't know. I don't know, honest to God. But I keep checking my email as we're talking, so see if anything pops through. But, again, like I said, anytime somebody doesn't show up for whatever reason, I will always get them scheduled. The only one I have not been able to come through with is Bree Williamson, which I probably won't show.
Well, speaking of Bree Williamson, let's talk about a little bit about the stuff that's been happening.
Wait a minute. Did I lose Brandon?
Brandon, you there? Brandon, you still there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I do. Did you get hung up on?
Yes. No, I didn't. My signal faded, and I called back in. Can you hear me now?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can hear you. Okay.
Sorry about that.
So I don't know. So Bree Williamson would probably be the only one I probably won't be able to reschedule for other reasons. But, I'll always try and do what I got to do to please my peoples. But, yes, Tony, Bree Williamson. Oh, she's putting on a stellar performance, I have to say.
Yeah, I'll tell you, playing for bringing the test, bringing the noise. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Bringing the test, bringing the noise. Pretending that she's Jessica, so she can lull Natalie and Jared into a false sense of saying, "Oh, I forgive you for what you didn't ask," but in real reality, she is plotting their revenge against those two.
Mm-hmm. Now I know Brandon, you weren't really. A big fan of Bree Williamson. You prefer Erin Torpy.
Yeah, Bree does nothing for me. I've tried and tried to like her, and she does absolutely nothing for me. Personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And her performance when Nash died, she was just wailing and screaming, and it was awful. It was...
Oh,
I loved
it.
It was way over the top for me. And, she hasn't ever done anything for me.
Well, you'll be pleased as punch to know, my friend, that I did put a request out for Erin, so let's see what happens if they bite. I definitely did that. And you know what, Brandon, so you're a big buff on the old-timer types of soaps, and Tony,
exactly.
You too. You know The Edge of Night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somewhat.
Okay. So do you remember an actress by the name of Terry Davis?
I believe I do, yes.
She played on Edge of Night, and I can't think of what the name of her character was, and the actress that played Raven.
That was
Sharon.
Sharon Gavitt, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was later on One Life to Live.
Yes. Well, so listen to you'll get a kick out of it. I mean. Now I can't think of what Terry's character's name was. And she was on Edge of Night for so long, too. Wait a minute. Here, let me just double-check before I even say anything. But she is a dear friend of my aunt. And I spoke to her. And they still do like a fan event for the Edge of Night fans. There's still, people floating around that love Edge of Night. Mm-hmm. And she's agreed to come on the show.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. And she's also agreed to try and help me get on some guests such as Lori Loughlin and quite a few other people who are alumni of the Edge of Night. So I thought that would
great.
Be pretty cool. Because I know that you guys really are the... everybody I ask, it's past my, before my time, but I know you guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh, listen, if you could get some Santa Barbara folks on, that would just be, I would be in hog heaven. Santa Barbara was my all-time favorite.
Yeah, especially Lori Loughlin. I definitely would have to talk to Lori because I've seen her on television so many times. Not only on Edge of Night, but also shows that she's done after Edge of Night. Like especially
and she's coming back to TV this fall. She's going to be on that 90210 remake.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. I was just about to mention that. Yes, she's on the 90210 on the CW this fall. Come on Tuesdays on the CW this fall. And, and she's a very talented actress, She's a very veteran actress. She's been around a long time, so, it's pretty nice to have her on the show to talk about her experiences on Edge of Night and on other things.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to. So we'll see what happens with that. So the word is out about that, so hopefully we'll get some of those guys over in here. And, Brandon, you'll have to email me again your little list there, because I changed email addresses. If anybody wants to email the show, the official address is letsdishbaby@gmail.com. Any okay. other one that you possibly have had is, you know, other than MySpace, is not associated with, not associated with the show. So the okay. only show email is letsdishbaby@gmail.com. So that's what that is. And okay. I am still not seeing any sign of Catherine, and I'm sorry about that. Let's see here. We're inside
30 minutes left in the show. Well, about 30 minutes left in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, you know, once we get past that point, you know that it's Kat is being texted right now. HBS Rocks is saying in the chat room, well, if you can text her and get her on here, then more power to you, because you got more power than me right now, because I have no idea how to do it.
And if she comes on now, we'll probably have a 25-minute show, you know, maybe 25 minutes with none or nothing. You know what I mean?
You know what? We could always run into archives, so that's all right with me. That's all right with me. But anyway, so, and then also, let me just touch a little bit. General Hospital Night Shift is coming out, season 2.
Yes.
Speaking of Antonio Sabato Jr., mm-hmm. the week of the 14th, I am going to have a GH Night Shift week. So it will be Monday the 14th. Ethan Raines, who is Dominic Raines' brother, he will be taking over the role as Dr. Leo Julian for his brother Dominic.
Okay.
He'll be on the show to talk about that. And Tuesday, the fabulous Jason Thompson, Dr. Patrick Drake, will be on Tuesday the 15th. And the ever so wonderful Bradford Anderson will be coming back for an encore performance on Wednesday the 16th to talk about his role on Night Shift. We'll only have Bradford for about 30 minutes because that's the, you know, part of his fan club kind of stuff, so he's taking a little bit of time out to talk about Night Shift too and his little stint that he's doing on SoapNet. Did anybody see on SoapNet.com his little episodes that he's doing with the video cameras?
Yes,
it's quite
I did.
Hysterical.
Yeah. Yes,
and
I did.
Answering emails and stuff. So yeah, it's pretty
yeah.
cool.
Okay, is it? Am I mistaken, Brian? Is he was your very first guest on Stardish?
He was my first guest on Stardish Radio. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bradford Anderson. He's fantastic. You know, that's the thing about him. He's just a fabulous human being. Period. It was so simple. It was just, you know, a kind gesture of him to come on, and it's nice for him to come back. So I'm glad he's going to do that. You know, some shows don't have on their guests as repeats. I have no problem having repeat guests on, especially when there's something for them to talk about, such as General Hospital Night Shift 2. There's a possibility Sonya Eddy might be stopping by again to talk about Night Shift Season 2. So I have no issue with having them on more than once. Hey, you know what?
Or if it's someone like Megan Ward, where there's so much demand that...
Absolutely.
Oh, well, yeah, we're definitely going to get Megan. So hang on, guys, because I'm going to check another line here and see who this is. Hi, this is Joanne on Stardish. Who am I speaking with?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and I'm so excited that I hear you.
God, I couldn't find the number, and I just found it, and I've been nuts, so I'm so happy to be here.
Catherine.
Is it too late?
Catherine, thank you so much.
Did I miss the party?
Oh, are you kidding me? We've just been dishing away, and the only thing that I'm going to do while now I have you on the phone is do my intro, because I didn't want to do the intro until I saw the number. So you have
okay.
to hear your intro. So Tony and Brandon, bear with me. So tonight's guest is one of the most beautiful women in daytime. Her character, Lindsay Rappaport, is about to get married to the love of her life, Bo Buchanan. Or will her nemesis, Nora, stop yet another shot at love for these two? Please welcome to Stardust Radio, Catherine Hicklins.
Yay!
Or will she get married?
Exactly. Or will she? Will Nora stop it?
Oh, yeah. Well, geez, you know, that it's been 8 years since she stopped it. I think she's due, isn't she?
Yeah, she needs something to keep her occupied that has something to do with you.
I know, it's so true. It's really good. I mean, I think it aired just in the last few days. Well, we're up to the wedding, aren't we?
That's today. Yeah, today you started doing it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow.
Today was the day where she found the duplicate letter.
That Nora
right.
found. Mm-hmm.
She found the letter. Oh, yeah. You know, I just got back from Memphis and Arkansas where I was there. I had such a great time. I was there working with the American Cardiology Association, and I cannot tell you, when you get out of these New York and Los Angeles and the big metropolitan cities and you go into where, you know, like the heartland of America where people love their stories, I love how people come up to me and tell me everything that's going on, what they think. It's the best. And I guess that that's kind of how I knew where we were, because people were saying, oh, my gosh, is Nora going to find that letter? Is she going to find that letter? And then, you know, they were talking about Nash's death. And it's the show is just so good right now.
Yes, it is. It's fantastic. I was telling the guys, I'm sorry, Catherine. My name is Joanne, and I'm the host, and I have on my two buddies, Brandon and Tony. They always keep me company and keep the conversations flowing. They're so knowledgeable about soaps, and I love talking to them. So that's them. Tony, Brandon, introduce yourself to Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. How you doing? I admired your character for so many years. I've watched you for so many years online, so that, and you're doing a magnificent job playing Lindsay.
Thank you. What are you wearing? Hey, you know, you got to keep it light, you know? You just got to entertain the people.
Absolutely.
I love you. I'm Tony, by the way.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm calling all the way from Chicago, by the way.
Oh, we're all, and where is everyone else?
Well, Brandon, go ahead, please. Introduce yourself, Brandon.
Hi, Catherine. I'm Brandon. How you doing? I'm from Texas, so... And I've been a fan of yours for my entire life, so.
Thank you. What part of Texas are you in?
Austin, Texas.
Ah, love it there. It's great. I'll be in Houston in a few weeks.
Oh, it's brutally hot, so pack cool things.
Yeah, no, I will. Don't you worry. I go to Lakewood Church in Houston, so I really know the heat really well. I'm in New York City, just so everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. Well... Catherine, my darling, I see that you were born and raised in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
And I am in Fort Lauderdale.
You're kidding me.
Yes, I'm in West End, right outside of Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, I've been down here now about 10, 11 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I left there when I was about, I think I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Los Angeles to study acting. And I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, and oh my gosh, that was a wild town. And I haven't been there in actually that's not true. I guess about 3 weeks ago, I was in Naples, Florida for a family reunion, and I drove over to Fort Lauderdale to see Joel Osteen, who was on tour, but he was in Sunrise at the, what's that big stadium there?
Bank Atlantic Center.
I was there.
Right around the corner from my house.
Oh, my gosh. I drove in, went to the show, and drove right back over Alligator Alley and back today. So I was just moments away from you.
You certainly were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, oh, my gosh, we're all from all these different places. That's so cool technology has been able to put
it. Isn't it? Yeah. We have a lot of people calling from all over the place that have been dying to talk to you, and I'm glad that you were able to call in. Let's see. A little bit of background besides Fort Lauderdale. You lived in Rome.
Yeah, I did.
Do you speak fluent Italian?
I do. It's my second language because I was there for 2 years, and you really have to learn a language when you're in a non-English speaking country.
Right.
And I would get so frustrated. In my first 6 months there, I'd get frustrated, and because I didn't have anyone to speak English with, and everything on television was in Italian. And I went to private school there, and everybody in my class was from a different country, so our common language was actually Italian. So you can imagine. I would go down to Piazza di Spagna and hang around the American Express office. Then wait for American tourists to come to
my gosh.
I mean, and I'm not kidding, I really did do that. But I had a really good life there because I've been on a show here called Capital for 6 years.
Yes.
And it was on CBS, and it was a huge hit show over there, which I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got there, it was a pleasant surprise, and it made life a whole lot easier than it probably would have been, but I liked living there. I'm so American. I was so ready to come back and
right.
Tell me about life and patience and being independent and, not being timid or meek because, I had to, you have to fight for everything in Italy. I mean, it's just a different mindset.
Right.
So it was real good for me because I'd just gone through a divorce and from David Hasselhoff, it was very...
Mm-hmm.
Traumatic and it was really, really great. So when I see movies about people like what was that Diane Lane movie that when she went to Italy?
Under the Tuscan Sun.
Under the Tuscan Sun, I was like, well, there's my life right there. And then when this woman wrote Eat, Pray, Love, I'm like, well, there's my life right there. I need to write a book.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So
oh my gosh.
Coming out. I have a book coming out in December. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
What is
my real book?
Cool.
It's called The 30-Day Heartbreak Cure, A Guide to Getting Over Him and Back Out There 1 Month from Today.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's a book. I don't think that's a book I want.
I think I need that book because it's been 3 years for me and I still haven't been back out there yet.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you, it's really a great guide, a life manual. It's way beyond just, relationships and all that sort of thing. It's really, really good. And guys, if you just change the word he to she, you'll so get it.
Okay.
And here's the deal. You're about to get into the mind of a woman, so make sure you have your passport and your shots.
Well, when that book comes out, I have a link for Amazon. I'll definitely put it up there on the homepage for people to get in there, and I'll definitely start promoting that for you, absolutely, because I know I will definitely be there to get it.
Well, actually, I will be in Fort Lauderdale because I'm going on tour in January. I'm going on a 15-city tour, and I know Fort Lauderdale is one of the cities that I'll be in at Barnes & Noble somewhere. I'm not sure which.
Well, I hope you'll be in Buffalo. Because
why?
I'm moving in August to Buffalo.
I hope you make Chicago one of your stops, too.
I am moving in August to Buffalo, actually.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Catherine,
you still there?
I don't hear her, and I don't hear Brandon.
I'm here.
Oh,
okay.
You're here? Catherine, you still there?
Nope, she's gone.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh gracious.
Technical difficulties. I think the universe is killing us something, I guess.
Well, she'll call back. She'll realize, and she'll call back. It could be her cell phone. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's funny. Yeah. Oh, that's good. So we'll find out we'll find out a schedule of where she's going to be. Oh, here she is. Hang on. Catherine?
I'm sorry. Cell phone
that's
signal.
Okay. That's what I said. But,
that's
yeah,
live.
I'm...
We're back
I am...
We're
back
live.
Back
we're still live. We're still live, Catherine.
That's right. Sorry about that.
That's
hey,
okay.
Not your fault.
Yeah, we're going to have to find
phone.
Out what cities are in your tour so we can post them because people are going to want to come out. But I'm actually moving in August back up to New York. I'm moving up to Buffalo.
I heard you, and my big question is why?
Well, I've been in Florida for a while now, and I'm originally from New York. I'm from Yonkers, and my sister lives up there, and I'm just done. I've had enough of Florida.
I've had enough,
you know. I would have been gone a long time ago. I'm usually not someone who stays in one place for a long period of time.
Well, let
and,
me tell you, the beauty of life
you know.
Is that we get to start over as many times as we want to and need to and,
mm-hmm.
you know, change our minds and, you know, and that's really, really great. I think that's...
Hello?
She's gone
Hello.
Again. She's gone again. I just saw
oh.
her number drop.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. Sometimes the charm.
Well, you know who this happened with? This happened with Jason Gerhardt a couple of weeks ago. Every time he called in, it was like, boom, he was gone. He'd start talking, he'd be gone. He'd talk, he'd be gone. So it's some damn cell phones. Here she is. Three times a charm, girl.
No, I just went over to stand next to the window because I'm hoping I have a better signal there. Oh, okay.
You know what, Catherine? I'm definitely in your shoes here because I'm in an apartment in Chicago and it's hardly in the reception in here. I have to stand near next to the window. I'm on the couch right now with the phone tilted down so I can be able to talk.
Oh, no, I hear you. I'm looking, I'm 30 floors above New York City, and I can see everything, and I don't know why I wouldn't be getting great reception, but I can hear you guys great. Can you hear me?
This
oh,
is a
yeah,
great night.
We can hear you,
yeah,
definitely.
We can hear you fine, Catherine. Is it a great night in New York tonight?
Oh, it's so beautiful. It really is. It's just gorgeous, and I was just pulling my script apart for tomorrow and thanking God for this amazing day and night, and I'm just so excited to be here, really, with you guys, and I just find it fascinating that that we can be on this internet radio show, and I just love that technology has made it so easy for us all to connect with each other.
Yeah, it is. It's
right.
A wonderful thing. You know, that was like the whole purpose of this show. Anybody that knows, you know, how it got born, so to speak, is so we can all connect in this way, whereas sometimes when we would never be able to meet, you know what I mean? And it's just
yeah.
a beautiful thing, beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, are you going to continue doing this when you're in Buffalo?
Oh, absolutely. This is a labor of love for me. I love it. And don't get paid a nickel for it, but I would definitely do it over and over and over again.
Yeah, but here's the deal. You don't know what can come of it. And
sometimes
we do things just from our passion, that's when the magic of life happens, you know?
Absolutely. This is what I originally went to college for, and so many things jumped in my way, and... somehow it just came back around, and here I am so many years later. So it's a good thing, definitely a
yeah.
good thing. So now let me ask you here, how is it doing those bitchy scenes with Hillary, being that you guys are like best friends? Do you just like crack up all the time that you've got to yell and scream at each other? How do you keep a straight face?
Well, sometimes we don't, but, you know, we have so much to do, and that there's not a lot of time for tomfoolery, as we call it. We plow through it. But I will tell you that we laugh in the we share a dressing room and we laugh ourselves silly before the show, and we laugh ourselves silly after the show. And we are really close, and we have a very full relationship, and we're like sisters, you know. We really are. We're really, really close, and so we have a lot of fun. And she's such a great actress, you know. I just feel so blessed to work with her.
Mm-hmm. Definitely there. Definitely. So, Brandon, you had some questions to ask Catherine.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Catherine.
Go right ahead.
Hi, Brandon.
First of all, I want to say that you and Hillary B. Smith have never looked better in your whole lives.
You are both just
gorgeous. I was watching you today thinking, my God, y'all are both just stunning creatures. I mean, it's really quite something. I don't know what your secret is, but whatever you've done, you should bottle it, because you could make $3 billion. It's really quite something.
Thanks, Brandon. My secret is joy, and that's what my book is about, so people won't have to make millions, spend millions to get it, but it really truly is, I think, what makes me... I'm received those words with all my heart and soul. I appreciate it so much, but I really do think that that what we feel inside is what people actually see, especially when you get older. You know, it's important. That's why it's important to have joy, because that's really, really what you are seeing, you know?
Amen to that.
Yeah, and it's true of all of us, men, women, you know, and whatever age. But especially as you get older, when I see people that fear getting older, I see that in them because they start to lose their joy. And when you lose your joy, you kind of lose your beauty, you know? So got to be careful with that and make sure you pay attention to it. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So I'm a writer myself, and way before it was cool to do so, I always kind of followed the behind-the-scenes, you know, goings-on of these shows and who was creating them and who was heading them, you know. So I would always watch the credits and see who the writers were and who the producers were, you know, way before it was in vogue to do that. And you have worked with some of the most powerful, most intimidating, smartest executive producers in the genre. And I was just wondering if I could ask you about your impressions of working with and for people like Paul Roush on Texas and John Conboy on Capitol and Jill Ferencz-Elps on One Life and, you know, Frank Valentini now. I was just wondering if you could, you know, talk a little bit about some of these people who are just brilliant and intimidating and strong and powerful.
Right. You know, it's so funny. Paul Roush is my first boss, and I really didn't realize how tough that his reputation was. I tend to just kind of take people, you know, as I always just tried to be me, and I'm not a political creature. I don't, you know, I like to say, homie, don't play that game. I just don't even know what it is. And so even though I've worked with all these really great, great executive producers, my God, they've all been amazing, and Frank is awesome. He's so talented, he can do anything. It's beyond unbelievable. But Jill Phelps, great, great woman, great producer. Paul Roush, John Conboy was, I still really have a real soft spot in my heart for him. And I just, they all were very instrumental in me having this 30-year career, and I'm so grateful to them. And I'm so glad you brought this up because it makes me want to sit down and write letters. Gary Tomlin also, you know, Gary Tomlin was really a great executive producer. He understands very well the value of entertainment, and we did a lot of great things under him as well, the live show, the musicals, you know, great things. So I just feel, wow, I have really, really been fortunate to work with these people. But, you know, I think whenever I see people get intimidated by them, and I think just be yourself and who you are and stop trying to, you know, play the game and all that. And sometimes, you know, not being a political creature will work in your won't work in your favor. Maybe sometimes people like that, but it's just not who I am. And so I have actually managed to get along brilliantly with each and every producer I've ever had. And you know, and I just think that that's the way to go. Just, you know, be yourself and don't think about how important somebody is, and be respectful. And gosh, thanks for bringing that up. I really am going to sit down and write letters because, you know, I think that's real important, too, to let people know how valuable they were in your life, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I just want to tell you, the work you did under Jill Phelps those, you know, 3 years was will stand in daytime history as some of the best execution and acting on all of daytime. I firmly believe that.
Thank you so much. You know,
and Hillary Smith and Cale Brown and Bob Woods, you made a terrific little quadrangle there for quite a few years, and it's great stuff.
Thank you. She was unbelievable. She is the one that actually brought me to One Life to Live, and those years were, I had four just amazing years, three with her and one with Gary. And
it was a one-day gig, was it not? It was supposed to be a one-off.
It was a one-day job. Not I've been there 10 years, but it was a one-day job, and really let me, just trusted me with unbelievably difficult material and made me rise to something I didn't even know if I could do. So that was Megan McTavish, I think, that wrote. Pam Long brought me on, and Megan McTavish wrote all of that really hard stuff when I kidnapped Nora and did the memory erasing drug and all that sort of thing stuff. And Jill was really great because she would, I was so scared all the time that I was going to lose my job because I was doing these awful things. And she just really, you know, would walk me through it and say, don't worry about that. Just do it, you know. And she was right. I learned so much. I mean, that's another thing. We can't worry about what other people think. And,
absolutely.
You know, all that stuff. We have to just do our work, mind our business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I just want to say one more quick thing, if I could. And then I'll stop hogging the show. I think that you and Kathy Breyer need to get together and record a duets album. I think that you two have the most amazing voices. Both of your albums are absolutely unbelievable. I love Kathy Breyer. I love her voice. And you two would make such a great blend. I think that you should definitely look into, you know, doing some kind of collaboration together.
Thank you so much. I don't think that will happen only because Kathy DePaiva and Kathy and Bobby Eakes are all doing a tour. They're going to be coming up, and so they're probably going to be very busy with that. But Kathy is also one of my favorite singers of all. She's absolutely incredible. And, you know, I might just do a duet with her just for the sheer fun of it. Put it up on
That would be a blast.
Yeah, I'll ask her. You know, thanks for the idea. I'll ask her and see what she says.
Absolutely.
I just want to Send in the Clowns is one of my favorite songs, and your version of it is absolutely heartbreaking. So.
Oh, Brandon, thank you so much. Thank you.
I love you. We love you in Texas.
I love Texas too. I'm there all the time. So, I was in Austin because I went to Fort Hood to be with the troops when they came back from capturing Saddam Hussein. So I spent 2 days in Austin, Texas, and I have to say that's one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. All right. Next.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks.
Brandon. Thank you.
See you later, Brandon.
Thanks, Joanne.
All right.
Bye, Brandon.
See you, Brandon.
Oh, wow. Yes, I love my Brandon. He is so knowledgeable. You know what? You couldn't ask me about a writer to save my life. Don't, you know, I know now because I'm paying attention, but I never not once paid attention to writers' names or anything like that. It was all about the actors. I could care less about the writing, but now.
And Brandon's a writer, so he's smart because what he's doing is he's looking at these people as models, and that is really a very, very smart thing to do because to be successful at anything you choose, you need to have a model to look at. So if you want to be an actor, it's like whose career do you admire and how did they get there? He's looking at these writers and saying, I admire their work. I admire that producer, that writer. What were they like? How do they move? How did they get there? That's really smart, really smart.
Yeah. He's fantastic. But we have another girl on the phone here, Maggie, that's been dying to get on, so I'm going to bring her on for a second here. Maggie, you're on the phone with Catherine.
Hey, Maggie.
Maggie.
Did we lose her?
Maggie.
Maybe she's on
Maggie.
The phone.
Maggie.
Maggie, are you there?
Okay, she's not there. She's gone. Moving on, Maggie. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, she will. Hi, you're on the phone with Catherine. Huh. Akira?
Hello?
What is up with this switchboard?
You and John are going to have to ask me questions.
I'm telling you, I don't know what they're doing over here.
I'm telling you, the spying is against us tonight. I swear to goodness it is.
You know what? I have a few people in the chat room who also have their own show, and they said they had some issues with the switchboard tonight. So let's see. All right. Fix Desis, are you there? Hello?
Hello? Anyone there?
No, they're not there either. All right. Well, you know what? So be it. I'm going to let it rest a little bit there, I guess. And, your number's up there. She says, I'm not even on the phone, but her number's up there. So whatever. Okay, let's go over here. Oh, okay. Maggie, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, there you are. Hi,
hey,
Maggie.
I'm sorry.
Hey.
Hi, Maggie. What's going on?
I wrap you on one wrap to babe.
Where are you?
In Tampa.
She lives in Tampa.
Ah, Tampa. I'm there about four times a year, too.
Yeah, I love you on one love the baby.
Oh, thank you, honey. I love you, period. How about that?
Thank you. You are so beautiful.
I'm sorry, because I'm having a hard time hearing Joanne. What did she just say?
She said you're so beautiful.
Oh, boy, thank you. I received that. That makes me feel so good. Thank you so much, Maggie.
Okay, bye.
Bye,
bye, Maggie.
I love you, Dwayne.
I love you, too.
Love you, too.
Yay. I said bye.
Bye.
Great. Oh, love is the best, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes,
she's
is.
Fantastic.
Yes, she is.
So, all right, Catherine, let's talk about the cosmetics.
Okay.
Cat Cosmetics. When was it born? What was your vision for that?
Cat Cosmetics, actually, that's kind of a funny thing. I mean, I opened it in 2001, and I could not tell you what in the world I was thinking at the time. It wasn't like I was thinking, oh, I'm going to build a company. I literally was just thinking about a couple of things that I wanted to make because they were must-have items, and nobody else seemed to have it exactly the way I wanted it, sort of right, you know, and I would, there's like a powder I took from a big company, and I said, I like this, but if it was a little moister and not so yellow, I'd be perfect. And I thought, you know, I'm going to take this to a chemist, and I'm gonna make the perfect kit, and I'm going to make the perfect pencil, and I'm going to make the perfect lip gloss. That was just how my mind was thinking at the time. I didn't think anything beyond that. And I started my company with just like 7 items or something. And I didn't even have a website or anything. And it just grew as the website was born. And then I opened a store and I had 30 items and 40 items. And now I have 100 items and moving into mineral, beautiful mineral makeups that I took years to get because I wasn't happy with what was out there. And, you know, I just really have built a company that I just am terribly proud of. It's the best cosmetics. I don't say that because I make them, but my passion makes them. And, you know, and I'm very picky about my makeup. So you know, I just, what I make, I'm real proud of. And it's 7 years old now, and I just love it so much. It's so fun. And so it's catcosmetics.com is the company. And
yes. There's a 20% off sale, I see, for the holiday.
Oh, my gosh, that's right. It started yesterday. Yeah, that's right. 20% off everything this month. And, you know, and we just have great stuff. So that's actually, it's a good time to try it because 20% off is a really good deal.
Right, right. Now, do they let you use that on the show?
Oh, yeah. They use it on the show. My children uses it, you know, Law and Order. We've had the makeup artists on Pirates of the Caribbean ordered from us. So we have a lot of makeup artists that use the show, use the makeup on their shows, and just Cold Case, the orders from us, and I mean it's really like it's just a great because it lasts forever and ever, and the colors just make your face come alive, and it just is beautiful stuff. And I'm going to be on Home Shopping Network on August 18th. So we're Maggie in Tampa. That's where I'll be. August 18th, the Home Shopping Network. I'll be there.
And that'll be just 2 days after Fan Club Weekend, right, in New York, right?
Yes. In fact, Fan Club Weekend is on Saturday the 16th. And then my Fan Club Dinner I have every year, and I, you know, donate the money to charity, is the night of the 16th.
Right.
And I leave on the morning of the 17th.
Wow.
Yeah, so there you go. So I'll be on my way to Tampa early the next morning. But it's really a fun weekend, the fan weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll make sure that I plug that for Home Shopping. We had Linda Dano on not too long ago. She came on to plug her home collection line for the shopping channels and stuff like that. So definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a question for you from my buddy Ruth. She's saying, her question is, she knows about your cosmetics, but she also you also released a CD called Sincerely Broadway. What's that about?
Oh, it's that's the one Brandon was talking about earlier. It's a CD that has music and with a 24-piece Broadway orchestra, and I sing music from Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis, Miss Saigon, and just really like wonderful, beautiful songs. It's very romantic and very, I don't know. It's just a real, it's a great CD to relax to because the we've got, you know, an entire orchestra on there live, and so that's what that is. And you can get that.
Her version of Sin in the Clowns is beyond. It's beyond.
Oh, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to find that and put the link up on, I'm sure it's on Amazon.com, and I'll put the link up on the Blog Talk site
no,
also.
No, you can buy it at my web, at catcosmetics.com. I think they have it there. That's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I did.
I'm going to put that up there, too.
I produced it myself. So
oh, okay.
Yeah. And I think we're just getting more of those in now, so if people
oh,
are interested,
okay.
They there or call there, go to the website and call the 800 number.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or come
now,
to the fan club weekend and we'll have it there too.
Oh, okay. They're saying they'll check it out. Okay, very cool. Let's see. I got a little animated question that I do for everyone that comes on the show. There's an animated soap being created. Okay. You're the lead role of the soap. You'll have to assign cartoon characters to yourself as well as the cast based on your real-life personalities, okay? You can use any type of cartoon, past, present. Your cast would consist of Bob Woods, Hilary Smith, Robin Strasser, and J.P. Lavoisier. So now you have to assign cartoon characters to yourself and them based on your real-life personalities.
Oh, my gosh. I am probably the worst person to ask this because I don't watch cartoons, and I didn't as a kid either.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I mean, you're not going to believe this, but I didn't. I read comic books. I was into The Dark
okay.
Knight, Batman, Superman, and Richie Rich, and I mean, these are Little Lions.
Come on, we
knew really
Super Friends. Come on, you used to watch Super
That's
Friends.
That's right, Ethan. Absolutely.
Let's see here. Let's see here. I definitely, Hillary would be Lois Lane.
Oh.
I'd be Supergirl.
Of course.
kick Lois Lane's butt.
Exactly. Wait a minute. And, you know, it's so funny because I'm trying to think, Bob Woods, who would he be? And who? And Robin Strasser. Oh, well, if Robin was going to be a cartoon as Dorian, she would be Ursula the Sea Witch from Little Mermaid.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's a good one. I
she would love that, too.
I'd be the Little Mermaid. Let's see. Bob Woods, he's a hard one to put into
that. Commissioner Gordon for Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, actually, Bob Woods is like Boo Boo Bear because... He is adorable in real life, in person. He's an adorable person. I have known him for 30 years. We've been friends.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's just in a class all his own. So I couldn't even assign a cartoon to him, but if I had to, it would be Boo Boo Bear.
Aw.
Yogi's little sidekick, huh?
Yogi's little sidekick. That's exactly right. He is just so cute. Yeah. So there's my cartoon cast for you.
Well, you forgot about JP.
Oh, you about JP.
Oh, JP. Oh, my gosh. You know what? He's a bear, too. I always think of people in terms of animals. Like, I've had this weird thing my whole life where when I meet people within moments, I know what animal they are. I know what their,
mm-hmm.
I call it their animal. And the other thing I can do is I see people's children. So when I meet people, I sometimes look at them and I see what they look like when they were 5 years old. It's a very strange thing. I don't even know if there's a name for this phenomenon, but it's so weird.
Oh.
JP is a bear as well. And
mm-hmm.
It's so funny because when he came on the show, I wasn't even that crazy about him, I'll be honest with you. I didn't really like him. I like everybody.
Really?
But within a year, I mean, that kid grew on me big time. And now he is one of my favorite people ever in the world. It's so funny how, you know.
How it all works out, yeah.
But, I mean, I always thought he was really talented, but I don't know. I think he's just grown up so much, you know, in the years he's been there. When he got there, he was a funny, arrogant little kid, and within a year, I watched him start to become a man, and now he's just such a great actor, and he's such a great person, you know. He's a bear, so I don't know which bear he'd be, but he's definitely a little bear.
Yeah, I've had him on the show, and he was fantastic. He was just such a pleasure to talk to. And then I flew up to New York for that charity softball game that they did in Brooklyn the day of John Brotherton's wedding, and I got to meet him. And it was really a little kick to meet him.
He is special, special boy. Yeah, I worked with him yesterday, and we laughed. You know, he's such a great kid, just great. I did ask him about Farrah Fath, though. I read about that in a magazine, and I thought, mind your own business, so I didn't ask.
I didn't even see that. You see, I don't bother with that. It is what it is. Leave him alone. He has a beautiful girlfriend. Stop trying to start something there.
Yeah, just leave that alone. You know? Leave it alone. Just dig it in the hole. Just leave it there.
Yes. Now,
yeah,
I wanted to ask you.
I'm a good girl. I did not ask. Okay, so what did you want to ask me?
No, I wanted to ask you, what was your reaction when you found out that Forbes March had been let go?
I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt sick. I love Forbes. And here's why. He's a great man, but I did a charity function with him in Florida. I did not really know Forbes before that. I mean, I saw him in the studio. We never were in the same storyline. I didn't really have a whole lot to do with him. I just, you know, you don't see people very much that you're not in a storyline with.
Right.
And so, you know, when we went down to Florida to do this charity event, I was so blown away by how great he was with the fans. And I thought, wow, you know what? That counts a lot for me. And because for me, that's ambassadorship. If you're on a show, you must represent that show and appreciate and value the viewers and people that show up for things. You need to let them know that that counts and how special they are. And that's a rare thing. And when I see someone that puts that kind of care into it, their stock goes way up with me. And I just really came to love Forbes. So when he was let go, I was very sad, you know, because we lost one of the good ones. He's just a great, great guy, you know. But I know he'll turn up somewhere. But I know that he, you know, was very sad too. And I think the viewers are sad.
Oh, yeah, they really are.
Yeah,
there's actually a one-woman show. Her name is Georgette, and you probably met her because she's always outside the studios. She took it upon herself to start a campaign for him, and she's actually putting an event together for him. I don't know if it says the goodbye send-off or what it's for, but somewhere in Manhattan she's putting an event together for him sometime in August.
Yeah, you just gave me a good idea. You know, I have my dinner. I'm going to call Forbes tomorrow and ask him if he would like to be my special guest and co-host at my dinner because... Yeah,
oh, he would probably love that, and the fans would go crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
I think that they would really like to see him, so thank you for a great idea. I'm going to call him tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. And then when you call him...
That's just me.
when you call him... You have to tell him I told you to call
Yes, you definitely
have to come on my show now.
You gotta tell him that. Yeah, you gotta definitely gotta tell him that, Captain.
Tom's gotta come on my show. His manager won't call me back.
Oh, you see? Oh, that's just wrong.
Yeah, the manager doesn't call me back, so I was like, God, I gotta get in touch with this guy somehow. I don't know how. But,
yeah, well, I'll tell him Joanne sent me, and I'll let him know. But that's a good idea. I think I will do that. I think people would love to see him, and hey, I'd love to see him, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. Now, let me ask you a question about fan events and what you were just saying on the ambassadorship of it all. There are a few actors from another soap who do their fan events, but they hold conditions to the fans, whereas they'll say something like, okay, I'll chat with you and a couple friends if you purchase such and such from me and sign up for this program that I'm doing. What do you think about stuff like that?
Are you being serious?
I'm dead serious. I mean, I would tell you off the air who they are and what it is, but I'm just saying this is a situation that's very real, and they put it out there. Well, if you... So say I'm Catherine Hickland, and I'm telling you, Joanne, hey, Joanne, if you go on my website and you buy 10 lipsticks, I'll talk to you and your friends on the phone for an hour. Or if I'm in your town, I'll go out to lunch with you and three of your friends. But if I'm not in your town, we'll do an email or I'll send you some photos if you do that for me.
No, I don't believe in conditions of any kind when it comes to that sort of thing, and or relationships, or and you know what I mean. I can't support that. I don't like that. It's creepy.
Yeah, it's a it's a real situation, and it's turning a lot of fans off. I mean, and anybody who knows what I'm talking about, I just don't. I mean, if they don't know, I don't want to mention the names because I don't, you know, like putting people out on blast if I don't have to. But
right.
That is something, and so I can appreciate what you're saying on how real you are with your fans and how you have to feel connected, because to me that's what the show is about, and that's why I always ask, you know, and I solicit the actors to come on this show because I want to be that link between you guys and the rest of the fans. You know,
is
some way for you to get to know Tony in Chicago, who you may never meet in your lifetime, but it's given you an opportunity to get to know him, and it's an opportunity for him to get to know you on a different level without having to fork over $150 in an event. You know what I mean? So
that's
the whole point of it.
And, you know, I mean, I do my fan club dinner. Well, I don't have a fan club, but, you know, I do my fan dinner the night of the event. So I usually host that thing that we do in the day, and then I go straight from there over to that. And I do it to raise money for charity only, you know, because it is a chance for me to sit and relax with a bunch of people, and it's a big love fest. That's what we call it every year. And this year we're going to be doing something really cool, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's just way, way cool because I haven't done all the finalizing and finishing touches on it. But, I mean, last year we raised money, a lot of money, for a family in great need, you know. And this year we're going to be raising money for it's a wild cat conservation in California, and they just need money desperately to feed those big cats that have been rescued from certain and things like that. And so, you know, I mean, I think people are happy to come because they know that that money is going to go to something that's desperately needed.
Right.
But I can't imagine.
Make a profit off of your fan, and so to speak.
No. Yeah.
Right.
And even when I sell my things to fans, we always deeply discount it because I also know that they only have so much money to spend and that they have many things to spend it on. And so, you know, we cut our prices sometimes in half for them. So,
right.
You know, I really can't imagine that scenario. That's pretty awful.
It's pretty sad. And everybody in the chat room is saying, oh, I know what you're talking about. It was in a magazine. And, yeah, they do. So I guess I can just say General Hospital. That's where I'll leave it. I'll leave that at the door.
You know what, Joanne? We'll talk about that after the show.
Yeah, that's where I'll leave it, because the people that are in the chat room, there's only five people in the chat room right now, and they pretty much all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But we'll leave it at the door. But speaking of, let's see here. Now, give me the date of your event, your dinner.
The 16th.
The 16th. Okay, I'm writing it down so I can post
it on
the site. It'll
be a Saturday night.
That would be August Saturday 16th. Night at 6
and where,
o'clock.
Where do people get tickets?
You know, I will email you all that information. I'll get your email address after the show, and
okay.
then we can put it up there. And
okay.
I will. You know what? You can go to catcosmetics.com, catcosmetics.com. And all the information is right there, and how to get tickets, and what time, and where it is,
okay.
and all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's really great because you know it's a very intimate night, and it's not you know a ton of people. It is just so I really love it because I get to spend really quality time with each person. You know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Hopefully, I'll be in New York by that time.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. So, all right. I have a. Another question for you from the chat room. What's the weirdest experience you've had with a fan?
Good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. You know what's so funny? I probably have had one, but I don't remember it because I tend to delete.
Block all that crap out, right?
I hit the delete button, but honestly, I am not kidding you. I have the greatest fans. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're great. They're just loving people who, you know, want to connect with me, and I'm more than happy to do that. I did have one weird one. Okay. It was almost a stalker situation, and it was a female, and that was really odd. But you know what? I mean, it turned out to be fine. I mean, you know, I just dealt with it. It wasn't a dangerous situation. It was just a situation where I think people don't, you know, they get displaced affections and they just get confused. You know what I mean? Like sometimes a person so when it's not a dangerous situation, and I think really all it needs sometimes if it's not, doesn't have a dangerous feel to it is, you know, to sit down and talk it out and just, you know, and that's what we did. We just sat down. I sat down with her and I talked it out and got to the bottom of it and got to the root of it and it was done, you know, never again to be a problem. But if you have a problem with people who are threatening you or that sort of thing, of course, that takes on a whole different thing. I've never had that. Never, never, never. Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Well, that's good.
Definitely good. The girls in the chat room are saying that to bring up Girls Night Out with Hillary, she should tour well while out doing your book signing. Did you have a Girls Night Out with Hillary?
We do have a Girls Night Out. It's called A Couple of Soap Chicks, and it's We did it, 4 years ago, I think. We did it 3 years ago at a comedy club, and just to test the material, and we videotaped it so we could look at it. It was really pretty good, I have to say. I've done stand-up comedy. I did it last year. I did about 5 months' worth of it by myself, and, you know, just to wanted to get good at it. And that's really funny that somebody would say that because she and I were talking today, and I told her that after I do the big 15-city tour for the publisher, that I wanted to drive across the country because I've never done it, and tour and do it in 3 weeks and stop in every city that I have always wanted to go to and, you know, just do the book signings all day at Barnes & Noble's and or whatever stores that I end up with. And at night we could do a couple of soap chicks at the little clubs and stuff and videotape the entire thing, and how much fun that would be, you know? So it's so funny someone said that, because that's absolutely what we talked about today on the phone.
Oh, how cool is that? Well, they're saying, tell Kat Angela and Jen, tell Kat Angela and Jen says hi. That's what they're telling me to tell you, so.
Okay, well, Jen and Angela are great. Angela is Hillary's number one, and Jen is my number one. And Jen, I haven't seen in a long time, but we've been trying to get together. We've been in touch with each other, and she was in college when I met her. And she came to see me at a talk show. She was in the audience, and she told me she was coming. And, you know, this is a cool fan story because she contacted me, and she was super shy. And when I got there, I saw her in the audience, and she was just this wide-eyed college kid who was just adorable. And we ended up becoming very, very close. And she is now, it's 9 years later, and she graduated school, and she's got the most amazing job, and she's got a great career. And I look at this girl, and I think, so you know, when you don't have kids of your own, you don't have a yardstick for time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see people that you met when they were young, it's like watching kids grow up on the show. You realize, wow, you know, and you watch someone go from a girl to a woman, and it's just so awesome. And I have a lot of fans like that where I've grown up with them, you know, and they've grown up with me, and it's so cool to see them blossom, you know, into amazing people.
Right.
So I say hi back to them, you know, so whoever's there, tell them I said hi, and I love them.
They hear you. She says thank you for telling her, so definitely they hear you, definitely.
Yeah.
Brandon, you wanted to ask her, ask Catherine another question?
Yeah, I did actually. I don't want to interrupt again, but I have a feeling I know what your answer is going to be. But while we're talking about books and things, David Hasselhoff wrote some pretty nasty, arrogant things about you in his book last year, and I was just wondering if you were hurt by that, because I was just reading and I was flabbergasted, and you know, I don't know you personally, but I followed you for a number of years, and I know how you seem to be in real life. That's an odd thing to say, but you seem to be a very positive, spiritual person, and he just wrote some nasty things about you, and I was wondering how you felt about it.
Well, I think that, you know, that I don't ever want to say anything bad about anybody, because I don't think that that's right. But
exactly.
I think, and you know, I mean, obviously, after this last thing that happened with the videotape that was out on YouTube and on the news, which I felt awful when I saw. I felt awful for him, for his family, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
The daughter was taping him with the hamburger.
Yeah, yeah.
The hamburger, yeah.
I felt very bad about that, because nobody ever needs to do that, to have their life, you know, splashed out there like that, no matter what. But on the other hand, it kind of, you know, for me, it was almost like having like a Vietnam flashback, because I was thinking, there's my old life. And so I think that speaks for itself in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny you would bring that up again, Brandon, because today I was thinking about, I thought about that today, and I never think about that. When it first came out, I remember thinking, well, what in the world, you know? And it hurt my feelings. But not very long, because, you know, we have to let go of things that don't move us forward in any way, you know. But I was
It was just so stunning to read, and it seemed like it was totally out of the blue. It seemed like it was completely unprompted.
Well, it was, because, you know, I mean, you don't talk to somebody for 20 years, and I had no idea, you know, that I just didn't know. But but here's my feeling about that. I feel that when people talk about something that did or did not happen 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 week ago, and whatever the situation is, I don't go for that, because I think that you're trying to keep somebody in the past, whether it's something you imagined or something that is real, or is that something that somebody did. And I work with a prison ministry in Texas, and so I am really, really, really strongly strong opinions about this, because I look at these women who, some of them have done terrible things, yes, but we cannot chain them to the past forever, because if we do and we don't give them an opportunity to know real love and a healthy life and a well life, either through God or through whatever means that is possible, then they are their story that they came from, and they don't have to be, because a lot of people want to start over. So when that's what made me think about that today, because I was thinking about some of the girls that I was with a few weeks ago in this prison in Texas. It was a maximum state security prison. And I was thinking about them because I was thinking about their past. And then I started thinking about, you know, things that happen and about why do people want to bring something up that's not nice when it's so long ago. I mean, I have had the opportunity to do that. I can't tell you how many times I was asked to write a book or asked to talk about that on a television show, my life back then. I would not do it. I would not do that to somebody. So I think, you know, I don't know. I don't really have anything to say about it except, you know, I hope he feels better. I don't know, you know. I don't. It was a shock. Yes, it was. Very much so for me, too. But, you know, you can't control other people, and you can't control what their mind thinks and what their, you know, what that comes out of their mouth. So you might as well just get the sooner you learn that in this life, the happier you'll be, and the more you'll be able to let things go. You know,
yeah,
you're only responsible for what comes out of your mouth.
Just live in your moment and let the higher power, whoever he or she is, take care of the rest of it.
Oh, yeah, because if there's one thing I've learned for sure is that we really never have to worry about getting even with people that hurt us, because that just takes care of itself. And it may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but it will, you know, it's not for us to even think about for 5 minutes. You cannot even go there.
Karma's a bitch.
It's in the book. You know, I have a whole section about that in my book, because it is about healing and, you know, and about not being having a revengeful mind, because really it's just this poison. It's toxic. So,
right.
You know. Oh, yeah, that's it. But I hope that answered your question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's so funny. I was thinking about that today. I don't know sometimes if I am just so intuitive that I actually thought that to today and you asked me tonight. It's very strange.
Like, you're right.
It happened to me yesterday, too. Here's a really good one. Yesterday, I was thinking about loving. Okay, loving. You know how long ago that was? All right.
Now 15 years ago or better, yeah.
Yeah, and okay, so I was thinking about this little girl that used to be on the show, and her name was Hallie Hirsch, okay?
Okay.
And she played Lisa Peluso's daughter, was it? Or, no, she played I can't remember the character's name, but she was a little teeny thing on the show. She was maybe six or seven years old. And so I asked her mom if she could come to my house for a weekend in New York City, because I didn't have kids of my own. And I thought she and her husband might like to have a weekend alone. So I said, why don't you let me take the kids for the weekend?
Yeah.
So I had the kids for the weekend, and oh, my gosh, we had the time of our lives. I mean, I took those kids, and we just had a blast. And then I thought about her yesterday, and I thought, whatever happened to that little girl? Where is Hallie Hirsch? Is she still an actress? How old would she be now? And last night I couldn't sleep. 2 o'clock in the morning, I put on the TV, and there's a TV show on some random channel, and there she was, all grown up.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I went,
wow.
Well, how about that? So, see, when you have coincidences like that happen in your life, I mean, I always think, you know, if that's when you should start thinking about things you really want to come to you, because
absolutely.
You're clearly in the flow of life, and, you know, you are attracting exactly the right thing. So when you have coincidences happen, sit down and meditate about what you want in this life, because it's powerful stuff. I mean, come on.
Do you believe in mediums and stuff like that, Catherine?
Okay.
Well, I think that there's a lot of fake psychics in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you have to be very careful, because because there really are. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there doing something called cold reading, and it's just fake as fake is.
Fake.
But I will say that I do think that there are people that are highly intuitive and tapped into that world. I actually have one of my very best friends. Her name is Char. She's a very famous psychic. She was the one on Regis and Kelly when Kelly, when she announced
when she depicted the pregnancy.
Right, that's the one.
Exactly.
Yes, okay.
She's been one of my best friends for about 26 years, and I can honestly tell you she's the real deal. There's no question in my mind, you know, because I just have seen way too much, you know, just being friends with her. And so, yes, I do believe that, that people do can possess that, that power of intuition, but I think there are more fake people than real ones. And there's a show right now that I'm finding really good. Have you guys seen it? It's called Psychic Children.
You know what? I saw a preview for it. I didn't watch it yet, but I saw the promo for it yesterday.
Yeah,
I haven't
really
seen it all, Catherine.
You have seen it or have not?
I haven't seen it all, Catherine.
You're not into that, Tony?
Nah. Well, I haven't seen it because I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I will. I'll probably get a chance.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I do think kids are tuned in that way until they're about 8 years old, I think. You know, like, that's why I sometimes when I, you know, kids have imaginary friends and things like that, you're like, woohoo. And because sometimes you don't know if that's, is it live or Memorex, you know? I mean, it's, you just don't know. Kids are just, they're not, they're so pure. And so I think they're very intuitive to begin with. So I think that that show is very interesting because these kids are, they seem uniquely authentic in this. So it's really a kind of an interesting show. But I don't, you know, call psychics or use psychics or, you know, I don't like that. I don't want to know what's going to happen. I think life is
right.
And, you know, and it's, you know, I don't want someone to tell me something and then all of a sudden my, you know, that's going to be in my subconscious or conscious mind to play out in some way or other, you know?
Right. I used to watch John Edwards.
Yes.
All the time. I used to watch him. I used to, but then, I don't know, as the years went on, I started looking at it as a little different, you know, that, you know, I started watching how he spoke and the things that he would bring up and they would bring up and...
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of just kind of drifted off from that, you know, and was like, well, you know, he always said that you have the power to talk to other people on the other side. You just have to, like, tune it in. But I think either you have it or you don't. And, you know, so I don't know. I was always very skeptical about it, you know.
I think, you know, it's just when we lose people that are close to us, I mean, it's an energy that does live on. I mean, we just can't call them anymore. You know what I mean? Like, they're not here. But I know that I feel my dad around me, and it's not because I'm psychic. It's because those are my memories, and, you know, and I don't know. You know, I just find it a strange thing to do for entertainment, but... But I will say that the kid about the show about the psychic children is very interesting. It's very interesting. It makes you think, you know, about things. But
they say that kids can see things that we can't. So.
Right.
But we need to really be in tune with the here and now and with people that are in front of us. So, you know, that's really the bottom line.
Exactly. This is absolutely true. This is definitely true. Well, I'm very happy that you got to call in tonight. We are definitely at the end. I know we've kept you longer than normal.
I
went into overtime.
I was slightly late for my date, and I was freaking out. And the strangest thing is that I got a text on my phone, and it said, "People are waiting for you on a radio show. And did you know this?" And I wrote back, "Yes, I'm trying to find the phone number. Can you help me?" You know, it's like, so. So it's like, you know, it's so great because There you go. You see, you're reaching out there, and people were there with me to find out.
There was somebody in the chat room who said Catherine's being texted now, and I said, well, if you can text her, go right ahead.
That's right. And then I was just so excited when I got that. So I'm so glad that I got to spend this time with you all tonight, and I look forward to meeting you. The boys, I hope I get to meet you. I want to meet everybody. And
well, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get out there in August, Catherine. I'm going to try to get there.
Oh, that would be so great, and I look forward to that. So thank you so much, and God bless you all, and I will see you in August.
All right, Catherine. Thanks
God
a
bless.
Lot for calling in.
Okay.
Thank you, Catherine. Take care.
Bye-bye.
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 Well, thank you to Catherine Hicklin for calling in, and everyone, please don't forget tomorrow Greg Vaughn from General Hospital will be with us. If he calls in, as long as he's not sick.
Well,
so, everyone, it's 11:40, and don't forget a full week of, at least a three-day week so far of One Life to Live next week. Tobias Trevelyan, Brandon Buddy, and Mark Lawson will be on, and keep checking the MySpace calendar for updates, because I'm hoping to add a couple more guests on these empty days, so we'll see what happens.
Okay,
and
everybody.
Brandon and Tony, thank you so much for hanging out.
Thanks very much, Joanne. I will see you guys next week. I won't be on tomorrow night because I'll be attending the fireworks show here in Chicago at the Taste. So
I wish you all a very happy
4th of July weekend.
Yes, safe, happy 4th of July. Brandon, thanks a lot, honey.
Thanks a lot, Brandon, too.
Take care, Tony.
Take care, guys.
All right, guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.